Amen. Well, one Sunday a year, the whole world agrees with us. Super Sunday. I personally think every Sunday is super. I get to fellowship with my family, my friends, and the Lord all in one place to worship. But the whole world is tuning in for their Super Sunday. A friend of mine was at the New Orleans, Minnesota game, and she said that the last 4 minutes, the crowd continually chanted, "Finish strong, finish strong, finish strong." This week I received an email that had a little video clip about finishing strong, and they said that the New Orleans Saints program was transformed from that little clip. So I sent her the clip and I said, maybe this is why they were saying finish strong, because that's what the clip was about. But how many of a thousand people fit into the Superdome? The ones who weren't wearing purple were yelling, finish strong, finish strong, finish strong. I think perhaps there's a witness in heaven saying to us, finish strong. Finish strong. And the thing about finishing strong is, it's finishing. It starts with beginning to finish. Doesn't matter up to this point in that particular football game, they had played for 60 minutes and it was still tied. So whatever had happened in the first 60 minutes were passed, and now it was time to finish strong. It did not necessarily finish the way I preferred that it finished, but that doesn't make any difference. I was thinking about the fact of all those people just continually saying the same thing. I wonder how long we will be standing going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, there is something about that name. If we allow ourselves, when we say that name, to enter into that name, you just want to say it again. You just want to continue, because those who believe on His name, what's in that name? What happens when we call Jesus? If we're sick and we call Jesus, the healer. If we're hurt and we call Jesus. If we're trapped and we call Jesus. He fits every manner of circumstance. We have what is written. But the Lord is looking for more than what is written. And please understand, I'm not saying that we're going to go outside of the Scripture, but we're going to have to go beyond exactly what the Scripture says. Because this Scripture does not have my name in it. Unless I take "you understood" in English, that's an understood subject. But there are times when the Lord says to me, Roger, this, and Roger, that. And I need to have His Word hid in my heart and His Holy Spirit moving in my life to discern what spirit. Because Peter was accused. He said, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter was thinking of the things of man rather than the things of God. But we have to step into the Spirit. The Lord said to us today, "I would like to take your hand and lead you and teach you to walk in the Spirit, because my Father is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth." I love what the Lord showed me in the first chapter of John. The first thing that Jesus says to the disciples, okay, well, you know this story. You know that John speaks of, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became to dwell amongst us, and His own received Him not. The Word became flesh. That tells us all about the Word. Tells us about John the Baptist, who said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he was telling people about one that was to come. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. Descending like a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. The Holy Spirit is a person. People think you get full of the Holy Spirit, you become a bird brain. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. He descended like a dove. And that's not anything to argue about. But, you know, the Holy Spirit might have just had a bodily form that descended and sat upon him. I don't know. But came like a dove. And he remained upon him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize... Who sent John to baptize? God did. To baptize with water, he said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. That was a little crazy, wasn't it? To those people. Do you think that those people who went out to see John in the wilderness ever wondered what in the world they were out there seeing John in the wilderness for? They go out there and they say he ranted like a madman, telling them the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Repent for forgiveness of sins. No goats, no bulls, no birds. Just repent. Just turn. Just turn. That's it. Yep, and if you get in this water, it'll be official. And they jumped in and they came home and they said, our sins are forgiven. You been to the temple? Nope, went to the river. Was that a little crazy? You're right. It was to them. But it wasn't to John. Because John had been out eating locusts and honey and listening to God. And one day when God said, okay, it's time to start preaching that thing I've been telling you to preach. And he said, all right, okay. Do you think that John had any idea that it was going to work as well as it did? Do you think he wondered, will anybody bother to come? I'm going to tell them that if they jump in this water, they'll be forgiven. They've been sacrificing bulls and goats and pigeons and whatever else they could for all of this time and waving bread and doing everything. And I'm going to go and just say, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's one coming that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Get it started here. Well, that's not a whole lot far-fetched than somebody standing up in church and saying, I'd like to hold your hand. I'd like to teach you to walk in the Spirit. Because my Father is looking for people that are worshiping Him in spirit and truth. Will you take my hand? Well, unless you walk by faith, it's all just crazy. But when you begin to walk by faith, it gets pretty mad, pretty amazing. And so now, the next day, John stood with two of the disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said to those two disciples, behold the Lamb of God. Now, Jesus didn't transform into a sheep walking along there. He was Jesus. But John said he was the Lamb of God. And these guys had been with John when John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And they had bought into the idea that their sins could be taken away. And so when he said, behold the Lamb of God, those two disciples heard him and they just went and they started following Jesus. Did they follow him with a purpose or were they just kind of gazing along? Maybe sometimes turning like someone who's caught following. So I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, I have an overactive imagination when it comes to the things of the Lord. I try to imagine things. I try to get there. I try to get from it what I can get from it. But whatever, it says Jesus noticing them. Did he just all of a sudden notice them, or did he walk a ways, letting them follow him, knowing they were following him, to see how far they would follow him? I don't know that either, but he might have. He might have been walking along, and he sensed them, and he walked, and the further he walked, the bigger his smile got. I think he enjoyed his life. I think he enjoyed the fact that they were following him. And then he turned and he said, "What is it that you seek?" Was there a pause? Were they standing going, "Well, let's see now." Did they confer between each other? What are we going to say? Because they probably, part of it was the Lamb of God. Okay? What do you think about this Lamb of God stuff? John said this. You know? I mean, there were people. When somebody stands up in church and says, "Jesus wants to hold your hand," not one person jumped up and ran up to grab a hold of it, so you must have been thinking about it a little bit. Some of you at least should have thought, "Man, that must be God, because Diane usually just will hang back as long as she can get away with it." You know? There's a lot of times I get a piece of paper, 2 days later, "This is what God told me." I'm just real grateful that she lets me know. Now I always lovingly say, "You can go ahead and do it right away. But it is nice to have it on the paper." But the fact that she remembers it 2 days later, that's proof. They were following him, and he said, "What do you want?" And out of their mouths come, "Where you staying?" You ever wonder, does that ever at all make you, why would they ask such a question? You know? Were they wondering if he still lived in a manger? You know? Why? I mean, when you think about it, where are you? How many people do you walk up to on the street and say, "Where you stand?" You know, for one thing, you want to be a little selective because they might say at your house. Why do you ask? Just something to say? Have you ever just said something to say something and then wondered why you said something? I don't know, but I love Jesus' answer. "Come and see." So much for just following along to see what's going to happen. Now he knows we're here. Now he's invited us to come and see. Do we say, "That's okay. We were just getting ready to turn off here anyway." He said, "Come and see." And so, in response to that, it says, they came and they saw and they remained. That's a pretty good chain of events. To come and to see and to remain. Sometimes we lack a little remaining power, a little staying power. We don't like something, we don't like someone, we don't like something that's going on, this, that, or the other thing. You know? Well, they came and they saw and they stayed. Well, as I was praying and seeking the Lord about the come and see thing, I suddenly saw something. I saw a hole. And to me, it looked like a hole in a hide. My first thought was a deer hide. A hole in a hide. And so I'm focusing. Do you ever, when you pray, when you see something, try to get in closer so you can see it better? No? I do. You know, I figured there must be something in the hole, and so I've tried to focus on it. Focusing with your eyes closed is a strange thing, okay? But you're trying to see, and at the same time you're trying to see, you're trying not to mess up what you're seeing by trying to see. You don't want to lose it, right? You following me? Okay. So now I'm trying to see, and I'm seeing the hole, and then I'm seeing the hole shrink. And then I'm seeing the hole fixed, sewed up. Can't see. And I thought, okay, Lord, what's up with that? Well, I was reminded that the tabernacle in the wilderness was made of hides. Okay? Have you ever thought about those hides and how much those things weighed? As big as that tabernacle was? I mean, it doesn't really make any difference, but these are the things I think about sometimes. They must have loved it when the cloud took off and they had to pack up all that stuff and haul it along. I bet there were a few holes in that hide. Hauling that thing around, they probably had to sew them up. That doesn't have anything to do with this, but it was the hide, and there was the hole in the hide, and then the hide closed up. I'm reminded that the tabernacle was made with hides, and the hide was the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it was the place that Moses disappeared in, and nobody went in except who Moses said could go in. Joshua had a good deal. He got to just hang out in there. In fact, he would refuse to come out, and apparently it was okay. The priest would get to go in once in a while, but I mean, Moses was the one who determined who got to go in. And they had seen enough of what happened to people that peeked. Nobody tried to peek. They saw people die for touching a mountain. So, you know, it wasn't like they were going to mess around with that. But the thing is that that was it. And then, guess what? When Christ was crucified, the veil was torn in half from the top to the bottom, and it's wide open for anybody who will go in. And so we can come to Christ and it's wide open, but so many times Christians are looking through a peephole, peeking in, trying to decide how far to go in to the Holy of Holies. When Jesus came, when he started his ministry, it was like there was a hole torn in the hide and people could look in. And those who would look in and believe, who would follow him, would get to come and see. And if they were wise, they would see and they would stay. There were a whole lot of people who didn't even want to look in the peephole. There were a whole lot of people that just peeked around looking for problems, looking for excuses not to follow Jesus, and looking for flaws in what he said or what he did so that they could accuse him and have him murdered. There's something wrong with people that just run around looking for problems. Isn't there? That are just peeking? How many people look for problems with us when we started out here? There are still people who look for an opportunity to tell a story. That's the goofiest thing that I just can't imagine why. I can't think of anybody that I want to tell a story about. I mean, I read the book. And I know that if I'm doing that, I'm not getting a hand that's leading me. Throughout our walk with God, there come places where we see through a glass darkly. Little peek holes into the kingdom of God. It's wide open for us, but to begin with, it's just a little revelation. Just a little something for our consideration. We're offered salvation. It's something for our consideration. We all know that there's. We all know people who have been offered salvation as something for a consideration, and they have considered it and not chosen it. Or they've considered it, chosen it, then kept looking through the peak hole till the hole closed, till they could no longer see anything of value in it, and hope that someday they'll go to hell. Some people that have never really experienced salvation at all themselves, but they've been told that when they were a baby, they were baptized, and by their baptism, they're saved. And so they keep going to that church whenever they have time. Don't really think too much about God, but because they were saved in baptism, it's okay. Lots of little things. Lots of little strange things when you think about it. Why wouldn't we want more? Why wouldn't we want all that God has for us? I look at these two men and I see them as men who were with John the Baptist, and they had already bought in with a radical. And now John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and it's like they're saying, you know, we better check out the Lamb of God, because John's been telling us about the Lamb of God, and John's been telling us that, you know, the Lamb of God's even greater than him, and so why don't we go with the greatest one? We'll follow him. Let's see what he's doing. They didn't follow him planning to stay with him. They followed him to watch him. That's what they started out at, to watch him. Hey, we would do well as Christians to watch him. Always watching him. Always looking to see. But ultimately, when he said, "What do you seek?" and they said, "Oh, where are you staying?" and he said, "Come and see." They peeked. They opened it to get a little better look. They stayed, and they ripped it wide open. And they just stayed. They just stayed. And they became so convinced, one of the two heard John speak, and they followed him and his Andrew and Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We found the Messiah." Based on what? Well, John said that God said that the one who the Holy Spirit came and descended upon was going to be the one. We didn't see it, but John saw it. We believed John, so we followed this guy. This guy said, "Come and see where I'm staying," based on the fact that they... What in the world? Where was he staying? Where was he staying? What was it that they came and they saw and they stayed with him? What did they see? What did they see that suddenly they were out saying, "Hey, we found the Messiah. We found him. We found him. You didn't find him. We found him. We found him, and we'll let you come in and see him too. Have we got a deal for you? Come on. We found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, the Anointed One, his anointing. Okay? And he brought him to Jesus. And so, here comes Simon. Meet the Messiah. Based on what? He was a man. Based on what do you tell me that you found the Messiah? He wasn't 900 feet tall. The earth didn't shake when he spoke. Based on what are you telling me you found the Messiah? And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You're Simon, son of Jonas. You shall be called Cephas. Now you've met me, I'm changing your name." Based on what? Who gives you the authority to change my name? The following day, he wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." A peek hole. Philip followed him. Why? Because he said so. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip followed Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We found him. Based on what? Prove it. I mean, you're just telling us a bunch of stuff. There had to be a little witness of the Spirit going on there somewhere. There had to be times when they said, "What are we doing? Is this real?" I mean, nothing big had started to happen yet. But they're all just picking up and they're following this guy. So, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth didn't have the greatest of reputations, apparently. So Philip said to him, "Come and see." Come and see. You know, those are three insignificant words, kind of, sort of. Except that with our lives, we have the opportunity to say to people, "Come and see. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord can do." Let me tell you what the Lord has promised, and you see for yourself. And so Jesus does a little prophetic speaking here. He says, "Nathanael saw him coming toward him. He said, 'Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile.'" And Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" Was his brother telling Jesus stuff about him? You know, he's going, "How do you know me?" And he says, "Well, before Philip called you, when you were still under the tree, I saw you." Whoa! That's pretty radical. That's pretty radical. It's no more radical than somebody getting up in church and saying, "I want to take your hand. I'd like to show you how to walk in the Spirit. Because my Father's looking for people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth." Wow. Well, we can peek into that and say, I will never forget. I was trying to figure out how come we got there this morning, but I remember when Vicki and I traveled to Minneapolis to go to church. Why did we go there to go to church? I don't know. But I can remember laying in a cabana and my son saying, "Let's just hold our hands up until Jesus touches us." Well, we certainly weren't going to quench that kind of faith. So we held our hands up right along with him. And Jesus touched his hand. What about me? 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 But it seems as though he was just touching one hand for a purpose. And I believe that purpose still lives. I have no fear about it. But sometimes to this day, I just hold up my hands. Say, "Still waiting for my turn, Lord. Touches me in a lot of ways, but I haven't had him grip my hands. I got this feeling that when I get a handshake from him, it's going to be a good one. But in the meantime, he touches me. And I don't want any holes to grow shut. I want them to be ripped. The hole is torn wide open. Catch me looking in, Lord. Catch me coming to see. Catch me. How do you know me?" "Well, before Philip saw you, under the tree I saw you." And Nathanael said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. If you saw me under that tree, I know where that tree is. I know there's no way that you could see that. You know things that I don't know. You're the Son of God."
You are the Son of God.
You dwell in me richly. You are the Son of God. Heaven is your throne and the earth is your footstool, and you live inside of me. It's too much for me to comprehend, but it's good. As we used to say in the old days, this is some good stuff. Little did I know what kind of stuff I was looking for. God's good stuff. He's good stuff. And Jesus says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You're going to see greater things than these. Most assuredly, I'll tell you, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You're going to see bigger stuff. In other words, you're right. I am the Son of God. And because I am the Son of God, I can tell you what you will see. And it's not just some sort of a far-fetched story. You're going to see it. Now, there is a little catch to this if you want to look for catches. There's no place in here where I find it written that Nathanael saw that. But maybe there's a book of Nathanael somewhere. Maybe there's a notebook of Nathanael somewhere where he wrote down that he actually saw it. But he was speaking specifically to Nathanael. And Nathanael followed him. Nathanael came and he saw and he stayed. Philip came and he saw and he stayed. The two disciples who were with John the Baptist came and they saw and they stayed because Jesus said, come and see. Whatever you face in life, a mountain or a valley, good or bad, don't forget to come and see the Lord's take on it. Because what the Lord has to show you may be different than what things look like. On Wednesday night we talked about then what? Because Jesus had said, go and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then what? And my desire of then what is that my little book about me will be all the time full of things saying, then Roger followed Jesus. Then Roger did the will of the Lord. Then Roger stayed with the Lord, no matter what came up. Then Roger did what the Lord wanted him to do. Well, the way we're going to know what the Lord wants us to do is to come and see the Lord's perspective on it. We read about Paul and Silas, and they're preaching the gospel, and then they're beat up, and then they're put in prison, and then they sing. Because they saw a different perspective on things. And their singing produced an earthquake, and the earthquake broke their chains. And they stayed, and because they stayed, the jailer and his whole household got saved. Based on the fact that they had come and seen and tasted that the Lord was good. Remember, no matter what, remember that the Lord says, I'd like to take your hand. Remember that when you're wondering what in the world, the Lord is saying, well, just come and see. Over here, come and see. Come and see. Sometimes Vicky's looking out the window watching her birds and say, come and see. So I come and see. It's a bird. Do you know what kind of bird it is? Absolutely not. Don't really care, but I come and see. And it makes her happy, so that's the way it is. Why not? Why not? There might be some things I want her to come and see. But in response to Jesus saying, come and see, they went and they saw and they stayed. Folks, finish strong in every circumstance with the Lord. Come and see what the Lord has. There's all kinds of things that will try to keep you back until the revelation fades. Do you ever let the revelation fade? The Lord says something to us. We're excited about it. And then nothing happens, and instead of going up and making sure the hole stays open, the revelation fades. Start focusing on other things and fixing other things rather than coming to see how the Lord might want it fixed. And by the time we're done with all of our fixings, the revelation's closed up, and well, now there's just got to be another opportunity somewhere. Those two guys, when they heard, there's the Lamb of God, they could have said, oh, isn't that special? Go, John. You got her, buddy. You got her, John. Yes, sir. You hit the nail on the head that time, oh, Johnny boy. Oh, way to go, John. And, okay, that's it. But they didn't. They left old Johnny boy and they just headed right on after Jesus. And Jesus said, what are you looking for? And they could have said, nothing. What do you think we're looking at? We're just walking down. Can't we walk down the road? I mean, give me a break. Can I walk down the road? I mean, what's with you, man? No. That isn't what they said, though, was it? They said, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And they could have said, well, no, we got our own place. We're fine, you know. They didn't. They said, let's go. And whatever they saw kept them. We make a choice to follow. We make a choice to answer the call. We make a choice to stay or to go away. And we can be coming and going. You know, sometimes we're in and sometimes we're out. Sometimes we're really in and sometimes we're really out. And, you know, I'm not talking about in and out of heaven and salvation, but I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Sometimes the kingdom of God is the very most important thing in the world to us, and sometimes that's stuff to do. We got other things that, you know, God doesn't seem to be talking to me about and doesn't seem to be showing me anything about, so I got to take care of them. Well, we should be going around the tent looking for the peek holes. We should be looking for the spots to peer in. We should be trying to get a better picture. We shouldn't be saying, you know, oh God, and then if we don't get thunder, lightning, and our handwriting on the wall, I guess God isn't interested in that. We should be coming to see. Coming to see. Coming to see. Coming to see. Coming to see, and we will behold the glory of God. Because that's His promise. He's the only one that is proven to never fail. The only one. There's a lot of other things out there, but there's only one. This Super Bowl game on Super Sunday will get over tonight and it'll be gone. Now, because of technology, they'll be showing the greatest plays of 2010 Super Bowl, 20 years from now, for anybody that wants to tune into that channel. It's amazing. You watch and you look at the information on the channel and it says, the Super Bowl of 1980. And you're going, I don't want to watch the Super Bowl of 1980. But I'll guarantee you there are some people who watch it and argue about it the next day after they've seen the rerun of the Super Bowl of 1980. I don't know who played. Don't ask me. I have no idea. I just know that I look at that because I'm thinking, football is like 1980? It's like 30 years ago. I don't need to see those plays again. It might have been one that I hated. But some people will just be reliving those things. And we've got Jesus who's fresh and he's new every morning and he says, come and see. Because he will still be just as fantastic when the game is over as he was before the game started. And he will still be making good plays. And he will still be handing off the ball to you and offering you the opportunity to score the touchdowns after that game is long over. If I were an artist and I could draw, if I was a cartoonist and I could make nice caricatures and I could draw out that first thing, I would see Jesus walking along, living large. I would see John with his disciples and there'd be a little caption above John's head that said, behold the Lamb of God. I would have those guys going, following him along. I would have Jesus walking along, knowing they're behind him. I would have his grin growing with each frame until finally he goes, what are you seeking, boys? And I would have them, where you stand? And I would have Jesus' grin get even bigger, say, just come on and see. And when they got to the place and they decided to stay, I would have Jesus in the background while they're going, wow, this is great. And he would have this huge grin and a caption that says, you ain't seen nothing yet. If I could draw it out. Folks, I'm telling you, you have not seen anything yet. You have not beheld all the glory that God has for you. You have not seen his solutions, the finality of his solution to your problems, nor have you seen his ultimate plan for your successes. But he says to us, come and see. And this morning he said, I'd like to hold your hand. And I would like to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. That tells me that there's some things I can learn about walking in the Spirit. Do you think there's something you can learn about walking in the Spirit? There's nothing wrong with having something to learn about walking in the Spirit. Because he says that my Father is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. You got a ways to go, but let's enjoy the ride. Let's stay with Jesus. Let's be convinced that he's the answer, because as we know, in the world, there's a lot of things that need to be answered. On Wednesday night, Vicki had shared with us that she was sort of looking at all of the things that are bombarding us, and the Lord said, let the worshipers arise. And now today, the Lord says the Father's looking for those who will worship him in the Spirit and truth. Can we connect those dots? Can we see that the Lord has a plan? Are we interested in his plans? Are we interested in his plans? He says, if we are, come and see. Father, I am going to come and see. Forgive me for the times that I've failed to realize, wait a minute, there's something for me to see. In the kingdom, there's an answer in your kingdom for this. There's a way in your kingdom for this. There's a plan for this success beyond what has happened. There's a plan for victory in what looks like a defeat. There's a plan. There's a way. If I can believe, all things are possible with you. Oh Lord, may we be caught following you, seeking you, and desiring to stay with you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.